Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Perich, joined as always by Dusty Evely, Sarah Kelleher. Guys, Packers are, Bucks are playing right now. It's a pretty big deal. I don't know if you guys knew this, but by the time you listen to this on Wednesday, we'll obviously know if the Bucks had won the NBA championship. So halftime. So we're going to do a little bit quicker episode today. You know, normally you get us for about 45 to an hour, but I think we're going to try to keep this one a little bit shorter so we can all get back to the game and enjoy that. So how's everybody doing? Dusty, what's going on with you?
Not much, man. Doing good. Yeah, I mean, I kind of talked about this last week. I'm a Pistons fan, which means I'm not a big basketball fan at the moment. But, kind of riding the wave of the Bucks here. Excited to watch them. So I've kind of got this. I usually have a movie up in the background. I don't know movie up for me tonight because I'm just kind of focused on the game when, you know, not talking here. But, doing great, man. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. And, you know, I mentioned last week, too, I'm not like a massive Bucks fan and really an NBA fan in general. I just kind of casually watch, but of course the team I always root for is the Bucks. My dad is an enormous Milwaukee fan. You know, he grew up in Wisconsin, the area, going to Bucks games all the time. So I can just tell through text, he's very nervous. He's sending updates, even though I'm watching the game and he knows that I'm watching the game. So, really hope that they pull through and that when you guys are listening to this now, you're just like, oh, well, they already won. So we don't care what you guys are saying because we're celebrating. So fingers crossed, and it would be awesome. I know the Deer District looked insane and everybody showed up. So just kind of crazy to see that all happening.
So let's just do this because we need to do it because it's Tuesday. There's not a lot going on, and Adam Schefter is just toying with Packers fans at this point. He at some point he's dropping his new information that's all coming. Like, so he tweeted out today that Rodgers was offered a 2-year extension that would have put him in Green Bay for 5 years total, making him the highest paid player in the NFL in NFL history, and that he shot that down. And, you know, Twitter does what Twitter does, and it freaking explodes, and people are freaking out. And half are pissed at Adam Schefter, half are yelling that we knew this like 3 months ago. And, you know, it's Twitter. So I guess let's talk about it. Sarah, how are you feeling about Aaron Rodgers and Adam Schefter and all this information that's coming out today?
I just want it to stop. I truly, when this first all started, I was like, wow, you know, I really hope Rodgers stays. I hope they work this out. And it's not that I don't feel like that anymore, because that would be great. Obviously, that's the best case scenario. But at this point, I'm just like, I just want this to be over. This is so annoying. Every single week, it's something new. There's a new tweet. There's a new leak on Facebook because someone heard this from someone and then they posted it. And now that's the only thing that we know. So everyone has to believe it. It's just exhausting. And I just am ready for the season to start. I know we're a week away from training camp, and that's when, you know, we're really going to be able to get a better idea of what's actually happening and see, you know, if Rodgers is going to be there or not. And that's what I want. I just want closure. Rodgers shows up. Okay. He's QB1. We move on and we get to watch the Packers play pretty much, you know, the same team as last year. And they're probably going to be really great again. If he doesn't, great. Jordan Love time or Blake Bortles. Like, let's go new chapter. This has just been drawn out for so long. And I'm really just want answers on what to expect, what to look forward to. And that's really it. And, you know, with Schefter, the thing that bothers me is that there are reporters locally that have done a really great job throughout this whole Aaron Rodgers saga. And, you know, people like Wilde and Schneidman and so many others that I'm forgetting to name. But they reported on this months ago and it was out there. And people that are obviously like us and are very in tune with the Packers and what's happening, we all knew this. I know there were some details that were missing, but the main gist of what Adam Schefter was putting out there, that was widely reported locally and even a little bit nationally months ago. So it's just kind of annoying that now it's circling back, and I just want it to be over. I just want it to be training camp so we have some answers.
Yeah, I had to check the date on the tweet to make sure it was not from, like, April or something, because I was like, we knew this. I mean, there was, I think, the tidbit of, like, 2 years was it. But, I mean, any language, I mean, I feel like most fans, you know, the fans that follow the team closely are savvy enough when you hear, like, highest paid player, okay, what does that mean? Like, is that, what are the guarantees? How does the contract break down? I mean, I think that's my first thought at this point. I mean, you see a free agent signing, you think of any of that stuff. You can't report on highest paid player and then be like, well, it was like, you know, 10% of that was guaranteed in the first year, nothing after that. So the rest of the money doesn't matter. And so that's a big thing for me. Really, until those numbers come out about what that was, which I don't think are going to come out if they haven't already, it doesn't matter. We got no new information out of this. So I feel fine. I feel the exact same way I did yesterday because I saw that and was like, oh, okay, we knew this information already. This is fine. Like Sarah said, we're a week away from training camp. I'm looking forward to training camp. The Rodgers stuff at this point just feels like the Rodgers stuff, and you weather the storm. Like the only thing I really say is, I mean, you know, Schefter put that out, and really, I mean, what a lot of this stuff is, you know, you get, especially, you know, big brands like that, it's you get some of the some of your advertising dollars based on what your interactions are like, how much impact you make online, all that stuff. So anytime you see something, and if you're quote tweeting to dunk on it, which is, you know, very popular with the kids these days. I don't know if you've heard, but you're playing directly into the game, man. You're up in their interaction numbers, which a lot of this stuff, you see PFF doing a lot of this stuff as well. It's all they're looking for, man. They're looking to goose those numbers a little bit. And when you quote tweet that, when you reply with like, this is dumb, we knew this 2 months ago. Yeah, that's what they're going for. They're looking for any kind of interaction. So that's all I got to say. I'm waiting, man. Next week's going to be fun. I'm excited about training camp coming back. But until then, until Rodgers talks, or unless there are some more details or something, I any of this new information, it's just, I'm just like a leaf on the wind, man. I'm riding it out at this point.
There was also some breaking news on the Pat McAfee show. McAfee actually it was pretty funny. He actually revealed that Rodgers was his source and then he was texting with him. He was trying to say it was a well-placed source. And then he wrote, when Aaron texted me, so it was pretty funny, but he did respond saying that his house is only deep cleaned by his personal cleaner. So this whole Facebook thing about how he was getting his house deep cleaned was not true, and then that it was also told that his country club membership was an automatic renewal and not a choice that he had. So, which I do call BS on. Like, if you didn't want to renew it, you could have told them, "I'm not going to renew it." So, but again,
I don't know if that's necessarily what he's thinking about. He probably doesn't even remember he has a country club membership in Green Bay until it was all over the internet that he renewed. Like, you know, that's just a courtesy thing that they were like, oh, you're Aaron Rodgers, so you can have a membership. And he was like, great, sure. But then he forgot about it.
Yeah. If I'm a millionaire, the first thing on my mind when I'm taking off to Hawaii is like, you know, I gotta make a note of my calendar to cancel that country club renewal, because that's coming up. I know it's
honestly
coming up.
Though, we say this, but then I'm thinking it is Aaron Rodgers, and I know he's a very calculated person, so maybe not.
You know, he's got it in his iPhone, like in his iCal, he's got something, some notes, like it'll ping up the day before. It's like, if you want to cancel your golf membership, you should do it today because they'll charge you tomorrow. Like, I can definitely see him being that type of guy. So, guys, there's not a lot to talk about. We don't have a lot going on. There's not, outside of all this Rodgers stuff, there's not a lot of news. NFL-wise, the only thing that happened, I think, today was the running back Cam Akers for the Rams tore his Achilles, which really sucks. So that kills. But, I mean, training camps are getting started, and with Packers training camp being 1 week away, we're just going to do a quick talk for a little bit because – we're actually kind of excited that we'll be able to talk about the first day of training camp. Training camp starts next Tuesday, so hopefully there'll be a lot of good stuff that we'll be able to talk about. And we're going to just do a little preview of the one thing we're really looking forward to and the one thing we are dreading the most for training camp. So, Sarah, this was your idea. We'll start with you. What's the one thing you're looking forward to the most for training camp?
Yeah, so there's a lot. Honestly, I'm just looking forward to training camp in general. It just feels real. I was telling you guys before we started recording, I renewed and, you know, paid for everything for my Sunday ticket subscription. So it just feels like we're getting closer. Like, we're finally there. The NFL season is not far away. But next week, I'm really, really curious and excited about the running back group this year. I think, you know, Aaron Jones is really, not that he wasn't a leader on the Packers before, but it seems like he's really, now that he knows this is the place I'm going to be for the next few seasons, he seems like he's very much, or very excited about stepping into the kind of this role as one of the bigger leaders on the team. And then also with the running back in the running back room, obviously, you know, they lost Jamal Williams. So now AJ Dillon is going to see some more time, get some more snaps. So it's really interesting to see what happens there. How are they going to be utilized, you know, in the pass game as well? We know LaFleur likes to get tricky sometimes, and Aaron Jones is kind of up to speed on that. But we know AJ Dillon doesn't have as much experience there. So I'm just really excited to see what happens there, among other things. And also, you know, the Quadzilla, the quad father talk is always really fun and entertaining. And there's always one picture, I know I'll check during my lunch break at work, and there'll always be one picture of a reporter who's never seen AJ Dillon in person before, and they're just like, this guy's legs are huge. So it's always kind of funny to see that initial reaction again. So, you know, excited for it all, but I think keeping an eye on the running backs is something I'm really going to be excited about next week.
For me, a lot of things Sarah talked about, the, you know, the running back group, you know, obviously, and I'll talk about him for a little bit, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time now, Amari Rodgers. But one of the things I always love is just, well, first of all, there's a ton of great coverage. You know, I'm, as far as like being on Twitter, I Twitter's kind of, you know, hit and miss, but training camp, I mean, there's so many people covering it. You know, Andy Herman does a great job out there just kind of hitting with all this stuff. We can't be there, they don't have videos of this stuff, but you can, you follow along with that, and you get to kind of follow, okay, who's doing well, what are they working on, and so it's always a frantic time, but it's always amazing. I one of the things I love the most about it is just there's always like one or two guys every year that a bunch of fans just glob onto, and the hype train just gets hyped up really, really, really fast during training camp. Now, that doesn't always go. I remember Josh Jones 1 year was like, this guy is going to be amazing, and then, you know, nothing happened with him. But I mean, you get, I love the Trevor Davis was one year. I still love Trevor Davis because of that training camp. So who's going to be the guy? Who's the guy that steps up, that's making plays, and everyone just goes gaga over for like this 1 week period? That's for some reason, I always love that because it's never who you expect. So I'm really excited about that.
And I want to see Stokes. I want to see him playing in some, you know, some real game situations, all that kind of stuff. And if Aaron Rodgers is back and he is able to maybe try to pick on him a little bit, I want to see the kid put into the fire and see what they've got in their first round pick. I'm really excited to see that. And then, yeah, I mean, I want to, as I've made comments before multiple times, I want to see tweets about hang times for punts. That's always, you know, peak training camp stuff. So, you know, J.K. Scott, if there's any competition for him this year, you know, his back's up against the wall or whatever was said about the special teams guys. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully that's always pretty funny to me. So that'll be cool. What about you guys? What about Sarah? Let's start with you on the, what are you dreading the most? I mean, I feel like it's all going to be the same answer.
We all know the Aaron Rodgers watch is what I'm dreading the most, not necessarily on the first day, because I'm also curious, and that will also give us the answer. Like, if he doesn't show up, I think it's pretty clear, like, yeah, he's probably not going to play this year. And it, if he shows up, then yeah, he will. But it's the thing that's going to bother me, that I'm dreading, is that there's going to be some really good stuff that happens in camp. There'll be players that have some really great moments, maybe some unexpected players might, you know, someone might surprise us. It always happens every year. And no one will care about that. No one will talk about that. Or if they do, it will be overshadowed because everyone will be like, well, Rodgers didn't show up, but maybe Rodgers will show up on the second day or the third day. Or did you see that Rodgers was at this restaurant in Green Bay, even though I only saw the back of his head, so it might not have been him, but he was there. So he's in Green Bay. He's just not showing up. So really not looking forward to that. Looking forward to getting answers on day one, but not looking forward to the aftermath that follows.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, you know, obviously that's the big one. That's the one that's on everyone's mind. For me, it's also just I'm always just dreading any injuries. You know, they don't always happen. But that's always the thing. I think, I mean, the biggest one, it wasn't even the Packers, was when Bridgewater went down. I think that was in training camp when he was still with Minnesota. And you hear that stuff. I mean, it didn't happen during training camp, but the Cam Akers thing that Steve talked about a little earlier, that's one of those things, like, you're so, like, right now, I mean, we're talking about, man, training camp's a week away and football's on the horizon. Sarah just did her DirecTV. That can, like, when you've had an off season, especially one as tumultuous as the one that Packers fans have been through, and then you have something, you have, like, you're all excited. The air gets let out of the balloon a little bit if there's an injury, even like relatively minor one. Guys get carted off. So it's always like the injuries, just any kind of, like, even medium injury that I'm always kind of holding a breath. I'm excited about the updates, and I'm always scared I'm going to see one that's being like, this guy was carted off the field. So it doesn't happen all the time, but that's something that's always just in the back of my mind during this stuff. Like, just not before the season starts. Just give me some excitement now, please.
Yeah, I'll back Sarah up, man. It's going to be Aaron Rodgers on steroids. Like, this is just – it's annoying as it is right now trying to figure it all out. And then when training camp starts and if he's not there, it's just going to be so over the top. It's going to be so annoying. Like, the local TV channels are going to have, like, Aaron Rodgers count of days missed in the corner. So every newscast is going to have it. Like, it's just going to be so over the top. And I mean, it's going to annoy the crap out of me. So, guys, we're just going to jump in and do some questions. We got a couple. I think everybody is really focused on the Bucks game, especially in Twitter. Like, it's there's a lot going on there. So we didn't really get as many questions as we normally get. So let's knock out the couple that we got, and we'll call it a day and let everybody get back to the Bucks game. So first one from Hammer. Do you see EQ or Funchess getting valuable snaps this year? Probably leapfrogging a good player like Lazard or MVS. Dusty, what do you think?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I mean, for me, when we think of wide receiver room, it's always what can these guys give you around how the offense is based. You know, we know Adams is one. MVS gives you that speed option. I mean, just elite speed. And, you know, if even if he's just the guy that we saw this past year, which is, you know, a really fast, big guy with kind of questionable hands, that still opens so much up underneath. And then Lazard is just a tremendous blocker and knows the system. So I don't think either of those guys, I don't think EQ or Lazard are leapfrogging those guys just based on the roles they play in the system. Like, for me, it's less about where are you in the pecking order and more what can you give the offense and how versatile can you be with those guys in there. And I think just those guys and the skill sets there, it's going to be hard to supplant that. I mean, I think I've always been a big EQ guy. I've talked about that a lot. I think, I mean, if he makes the team this year, and that's true of Funchess as well, if EQ makes the team this year, I think it's going to be more of the same for him. You know, he'll get in, get some jet looks, get some times. He's really good after the catch. One of his really good skills is after the catch. So try to get him the ball in space every now and then. But I think both, you know, EQ I like more than Funch just because some of the, he's been in the system and his quickness kind of gives you a little more options and some of the behind the line stuff and close to the line routes that they like to run. But I think either of those guys is tough sledding. I mean, unless there's an injury, I don't think either of those guys sees more than, I don't know, 10, 15 snaps a game max, I feel like. I feel like as long as EQ, Lazard, and Adams are healthy, there's just a cap on what those guys are going to be just based on the nature of the offense and what they already have.
Yeah, I mean, Dusty, you pretty much summed it up, but I don't see a world where EQ or Funch just leaps past Lazard or MVS. I think Lazard and MVS are great supporting players to Devontae Adams, and they understand their roles too. They know exactly what's expected of them, and you know, we'll see in moments that it's Lazard's day and he's really that number two guy, or then there's times where MVS is the number two guy and they kind of rotate in that spot. And I think, you know, they're pretty much solidified there. I think EQ might see a little bit more time on the field and get some more, you know, opportunities than Funchess, just because we know that there's potential there. And if he's able to stay healthy, I think it works out. You know, we talked about with Funchess before, it's kind of a long shot. He could turn out pretty good, and especially, you know, in throw it up and go for it situations, because he's a big body and he's strong, has good hands. But with EQ, I think he's more skilled, he's a little quicker, and that works better with LaFleur's offense in general as well. So just is looking at it from like a stylistic standpoint, I think he just fits a little better. So he might get a few more snaps than Funchess, but I don't see a world where either of them get more snaps or, you know, possibly leap Lazard or MBS.
Next question, we've got Dawn, who wants to know, pancakes or waffles? So Sarah, what do you think?
Waffles all the way. I need to get a waffle maker badly, because I have pancake mix and I'll make pancakes, and every time I do, I'm like, yeah, this is good, but it would be better if it was a waffle. So definitely need to make the investment. And yeah, I don't know. I think you can do more with waffles too. Like, I've had the crazy sandwiches where it's like waffles are the buns and then it's like fried chicken in the middle or something. And like, you can't do that with a pancake. It's just not possible.
Yeah, it's waffles because it's not chicken and pancakes. I mean, that's the easy answer, right? But it's, you get a little more crisp. You get areas to kind of hold your food. You put some strawberries on there, and it holds it in there, and you get some of the juice piling up in there a little bit. I like pancakes. Think for me, pancakes are just fine. I love waffles. Love waffles. So it's not really a contest.
Yeah, and we're definitely all in agreement. I mean, I feel I enjoy pancakes from time to time, but man, that's like a brick that sits in your stomach. Just so you're uncomfortable for the day that you eat those. So, and like you said, there's just like chicken and waffles, man. Oh, that's so mm-hmm. good. So good. And then Sarah, as you said too, like, you, dude, throw some ice cream in between, you know, cut a waffle in half, throw ice cream in between there. That's fire. That's some good stuff right there. So, so much more you can do with it. So, all right, next question. We've got a question from Joe W. What rookie are you looking forward to the most? What rookie will have the biggest impact? Cough Amari. And which player that you feel will be the biggest surprise in an impactful way? Dusty, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise. My first two answers for this are the rookie I'm looking forward to the most and biggest impact are Amari Rodgers. Now, I do think Rodgers' snaps are going to be somewhat limited, but I mean, we've talked about this. I think his skill set, what he gives you as far as even just the jet motion, I think he's going to get some touches there. I think he's got the versatility to line up in the backfield. I think just based on, I mean, what the stuff Sarah said about EQ and his versatility and quickness being good in the LaFleur offense, like Amari Rodgers is that, like as a stout guy and as a rookie. Like he's going to, again, I think it's going to be somewhat limited, but man, he's going to get his chances. He's going to be out there even if he doesn't have his hands on the ball. And I mean, everything you read about the guy, he just seems like such a good dude and just such a hard worker and such a smart guy growing up around football and just I mean, you know, kind of cliche, coach's son, all of that stuff. But man, like he just seems like he studies, he knows what he has to do. And I think just in this offense, I mean, that's a perfect pick, man. That's a perfect fit. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do. I think he's going to have a big impact when he's out there. As far as the player will be the biggest surprise, I'll just stay on the rookie side because my mind was on the rookies. For me, and I think I've talked about it before, I think, I guess we'll probably get into a little more in a bit here, but Shamar Jean Charles is a guy I'm really, really excited about. Kind of a small corner. You know, I don't know if he's going to see the field too much, but he's kind of projects well as a slot guy. You know, he's small, but a willing tackler, quick, aggressive, and especially in the Joe Barry scheme, where I think they're going to ask a lot of those slot guys in terms of passing off assignments, which again, you know, he's also very, very intelligent. And you also have to be willing to stick your nose in to stop the run a little bit as well. And so I think when he gets out there, the slot position is one that, you know, Channon Sullivan, you know, we kind of talked about Channon Sullivan and all that. Like, that's still up in the air as far as I'm concerned. There's not a guy there that's, like, a lock to do that every single time. And I think Shamar G. Charles, when he's out there, I think it's a really good chance to do really good things in this defense, just the way he plays, and I think the way they're going to use him. So for me, it was a kind of toss up between him and Slayton, but I think out of that rookie class, Gene Charles is a guy I've really got my eye on this year.
For me, the first two, which one I'm looking forward to most and biggest impact, I agree with Dusty. We've talked about this before. We're both very excited about Amari Rodgers. I think, you know, obviously Dusty has a little more personal like investment in this, but I'm still very excited. And that was, you know, my favorite pick of the draft. I was really excited about that. So, you know, I'll keep it short and sweet. I agree with Dusty there. And then which player that I feel will be the biggest surprise in an impactful way. Joe didn't say if it had to be a rookie or not. So I'll give one that's a rookie and one that's not. So I think, Josh Myers has the potential to be really impactful. And I think guys on the line always kind of are underrated in a way, and they can be sneaky good almost, where you'll go through a few games and then you'll all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, like they haven't allowed this or they haven't done that. I think, you know, I don't think he's going to be the guy and everything, but with Bakhtiari, we don't know. You know, he might miss the first few games, he might be ready in week one, but he could be getting limited snaps still. So I think, you know, Myers has the opportunity to at least get some good experience, and I think he might be surprising. I think he might be a little more game ready right off the bat than people expect. He's a Wisconsin guy, and I think, you know, that goes a long way too. He's obviously very passionate about this. This is a lifelong dream. Not that it isn't for the other rookies too, but I don't know. Just there's something there in that story that feels like he could be really special. And then the biggest surprise in an impactful way, I think Preston Smith is going to have a better year this year. I know people were a little disappointed last year, you know, myself included, especially because the season before, you know, Smith brothers, and they were kind of partners in crime and doing everything together. And then Z just had a much better season last year. But I think Preston Smith is going to show up, and he's going to be a bit better this year. And it'll be more of the Smith brothers carrying equal weight, we can put it that way. So I'm excited for Preston Smith to see what he does this year.
All right, final question, guys, from Brian Harstad. Love you guys and the Pack-A-Day podcast. Thank you, Brian. Question: with the changing of the guard at defensive coordinator, what can Packers fans expect to see as the biggest difference in their defensive philosophy? Can we expect to see continued improvement at the linebacker position?
Steve, Dusty, do you want to answer that?
I am a little perplexed by the last half of the question. It was a random thought. I saw a couple of things on Facebook the other day of like game highlights and things like that. And I was watching Packers games, and I'm sitting there watching other teams play the Packers, and you see middle linebackers make like these big plays, and it's just it just makes me sad. So I'm not going to get into it. The Bucks are in game seven, so we're sick. We're wrapping this thing up. But this feels like a dusty question. What do you think the biggest defensive philosophy change will be?
And one of the things I love about kind of looking at, you know, offensive defensive trends and looking at kind of the push pull of one thing leading to another, one innovation leading to another, or even some of these things harkening back even further than that, is kind of how one side of the ball dictates the flow for a little while, and the other side of the ball makes these adjustments. And I think one of the things that I thought was really interesting with Staley, and not to say that Joe Barry is going to run Staley's exact defense, not even say that Staley's defense last year is the exact thing that Staley's even going to run going forward, but just looking at kind of what they did and some of what can happen in the game, or even what brought that on in the game, some of that is, I mean, from an analytics perspective, one of the biggest things that we've seen teams embrace has been the use of play action. There was a study years ago, 5-6 years ago, I think, over on Football Outsiders by Ben Baldwin, that was basically, listen, play action, there's no degradation of play action whether or not you're actually running the ball well or not. You just have to be willing to run, but you can average 2 yards a carry and still average more yards per attempt when using play action versus not. So that was one of the big things on the offensive side. So teams started using that. You see those numbers creep up. I know the Rams did that. They had north of 35% play action. The Vikings did that with Cousins. The Packers have been slowly improving. I think they've been in the 28% range. So one of the things Staley did last year, instead of, you know, this single high safety, a lot of teams have gone single high safety, the Rams have done a lot of two high safety. And that's something that came from Staley being a Fangio disciple. Fangio has always led the league in having two high safeties. When you have those two high safeties, what that does, it takes a run defender out of the box. But one of the things that Staley really did that I really, really love seeing is you take advantage of this play action that's happening now, right? Because when you do play action, what happens is generally that comes from under shock or from under center. You turn because you have to fake. So Staley will do this. A lot of times you'll get pre-snap rotation. Then as soon as the ball snap, you determine what's going on. What Staley did was you rotate those safeties when the quarterback has his back turned. And the picture changes entirely. And that's one of the reasons they did such a good job with just that safety rotation during the play action. One of the reasons they did so well last year was how they used those safeties. You align too high, but then you spin those different ways. So I think one of the things, this was a very long rant, I apologize, but I think there's two main things. I've talked about some of this before, but I think the thing I'm most excited about with this defense is how they use their safeties. I think last year I think the Packers were third or fourth in terms of lining up with two high safeties, but Fangio and Staley were like 20% higher than them, like so much far out. I think we're going to see more too high. That's one of the reasons I talked about Shamar Jean Charles, is when you have too high, other guys then have to cover some of those run things. You don't have an extra guy in the box. So a lot of times that comes from the slot, depending on kind of how you're aligned. But the other thing is that the five-man line, that's the two kind of hallmarks of that defense. A lot of too high, so you got like limited numbers in the box, but then a lot of five guys up front. So what the five guys up front does is you're clogging that up. You're trying to get one-on-one matchups with the offensive line, and you're clogging up those lanes for that zone running back, so he can't find the spot necessarily to cut back into. So I think, you know, there's a lot of ins and outs. You can talk for a very long time about this, but I think two of the things we're going to see a lot more of is the two high safeties, a lot more five-man lines for those one-on-one matchups, and a lot more kind of covering that run from fitting the run from the slot there. So that's what I'm looking for a change of philosophy. And continue improvement for a linebacker position? Nah, probably not. Probably not. I would hope so. Because one of the things that five-man line does, it does kind of open some lines, some lanes, and then you got some free rushers through there. So I hope Chris Barnes or Kamal Martin or whoever's out there can take advantage of that. But I don't see vast improvement, I guess. Was that long enough, Steve? Should I talk longer? You look like you guys are still awake, it looks like.
I mean, it's the third quarter in the Bucs game. I'm trying to get back to the game here, and you're just sitting here running on and on. Like, you could have just tweeted that to him. You really could have done that. You could have been like, I'm looking for more sacks. Okay, next question. Like, Jesus, Dusty, come on, man. Feel the room. Take temperature of the room and then start. That was good.
No, this was good because I turned away and I talked for a while, and I'm looking up and the score is different. You know, the game shifted a little bit while I was talking. It was a nice little surprise for me, so that was nice.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm glad it was a surprise for you.
Thanks.
Well, guys, that's going to wrap it up. We're doing this a little quicker because of hopefully watching some history in Milwaukee tonight. But rest assured, we will be back next week, and we will do super-sized episode because of the first time back for training camp. So first day back for training camp. So, but let's close it out. Sarah, closing thoughts before we go.
Honestly, I'm just really hype right now because so much is happening that I love. So first of all, the Olympics start this week, which is super exciting. I love the Olympics. We talked about this a couple episodes ago. So really excited for that. Also, one of my favorite shows of all time, Ted Lasso, is coming back for season 2 on Friday. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, you still have 2 days to watch all of season 1 and catch up the episode. There's only 10 and they're only like 30 minutes. So you can do it. I believe in you. And then season 2 is on Friday. So just really excited about that. And it feels good that a lot of entertainment is coming back. I mean, Black Widow came out the other week and then Loki just finished and there's all these other movies coming out. So it just, it feels good. It feels good. And now football season is right around the corner. So a lot to look forward to. So just enjoy it. You know, anyone out there, and you know, if you're interested, you love the Olympics, you know, let me know, shoot me a message, what events you're watching and all that fun stuff, because I'll be watching. I was disappointed because the women's soccer team, who, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, know I'm a big fan. They have their first game today, on Wednesday, actually. And because, you know, they play in group stages and it's a lot longer, so they have to start earlier. And I'm like, oh, great. I'll watch it. You know, I can stream it. And then I look and I'm like, what time is it? And it's at 4:30 a.m. So I will not be watching that, but I'll be watching a lot of other events and hopefully can catch another soccer game later in the group stage and in later rounds, because they will make it out of the group. So that's it for me.
Yeah, and for me, kind of continuing this new series I started this week, or last week, I guess, over on Cheesehead TV. So today is my second entry into that series, kind of ramping us up for the start of football season, where I'm looking at concepts, passing concepts the Packers used in 2020, and just trying to dissect them from a number of different angles. So this week I get to dive into the stick concept, which is an old West Coast concept that may actually predate West Coast concept, and kind of how the Packers ran that. There's a number of different ways to run it, and one of the ways they did it was they stuck basically an option route on the backside that Davante Adams basically just cooked cornerbacks and ate them alive all season long on that thing. So I look at the 18 times that they ran that and kind of look at the different ways they ran it, where the ball went, why the ball went there. And so kind of all of the stuff, whether or not anyone actually likes that or not, I don't know, but I find it interesting. So today on Cheesehead TV, around 4 p.m. Central, I believe, you can read that piece over there. Had a really good time writing it.
Bucks and six. That's all I got. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4, at Steve Peretch, at Packaday Podcast. We will be back next week with a big old supersized edition of the Packaday Podcast from day number one on training camp. So we're all looking forward to that. But thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next week. And as always, go Pack, go.